Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up this week. I've got Asa Gray.
Yes.
Mandy Kennedy.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. Dalton couldn't join us. He got beat up too bad yesterday. So,
yeah, he's not here. Being a loser.
He still works this morning, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
He was saying something about like trying to get someone to work for him, but I don't think he found anyone.
Gotcha. All right. So, I'm going to go ahead and just bust right on in here. Mark Hamill is finally getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Aw, hooray.
That's good stuff. He's deserved it for a while, in my opinion.
Which it kind of like, finding out how the Walk of Fame stuff works kind of bummed me out. Because it's not something that's given to you as like a show of respect. It's something you pay for.
Oh, why'd you tell me that?
I actually didn't know
that.
Really?
But yeah. Why?
Sometimes though, like, I didn't look into which one this is. Because sometimes people will, like, there will be like a crowdfunding kind of like groundswell of support that they will pay for someone to but you also do have to like apply, and you do have to be someone within Hollywood. It's not like we couldn't start a Patreon or a GoFundMe or something to get Podzilla on the Walk of Fame, because
right okay. Yeah, actually I did not know. I thought
I guess
it was
that makes
awarded
sense
to you,
or else it'd be like way longer probably.
Yeah because I'm pretty sure that also like it's not something that like continuously grows indefinitely. They rotate people in and out. I think.
Rude.
Huh. Today I learned.
I don't like that anymore. I'm also just angry because it's the morning. So.
It is the morning. I am not in a wonderful mood because morning. But anyway, we're going to try and power through it and be happy because... You, the listener, deserve
I got some other beef with some stuff we're talking about.
Yeah. all right. Sony is delaying production on Silver and Black, which was that Silver Sable Black Cat movie that they announced. Also a spinoff, a Spider-Man spinoff that doesn't involve Spider-Man at all. It was very abrupt. It came out of nowhere. A bunch of people confirmed it, so it's definitely happening, but we don't know why. Just...
Yeah.
Hopefully it's because... Marvel's in talks with Sony and saying, like, hey, so we're going to need you to stop taking these characters that we could potentially use.
Because we'll pay you a boatload of money. Multiple boats of money.
We don't want you ruining them here. Just, here's a stack. Like, just hands them $1 million and, like, just make that movie go away.
I'll take it. Yes, please.
Yeah. Like, because... What was that?
Big old truck. Thanks, Southeast Missouri.
I think it was a sports car.
Yeah, it had a... Anywho.
Something loud, but they're cool. And I want to be like them when I grow up.
All right, so yeah, that's delayed. We don't know why. There's no, like, delay two. It's just delayed.
Yeah, honestly, like, with that Venom trailer, that's probably for the best. Like, take away the toys from Sony before they break anything else.
Agreed, because Venom is such a critical part of Spider-Man, and if it's not in the MCU Spider-Verse, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah.
Like, Venom's a big deal. Yeah.
You act like he's a bad guy or something.
Sometimes.
I know some Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
This is more comic book news, but I thought like it just reminded me of how that issue of Amazing Spider-Man with the debut of... Red Goblin is now like it just sold out immediately and is already going for like $25 or
yeah
woof.
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
it's a real bummer. So yeah, hopefully we can find us an issue. Anyway, Disney is planning on a Muppets reboot, which I actually forgot that Disney owned the Muppets for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why I forgot that. When I was reading this, I was like, wait, Disney's... Oh, never mind.
Just think of the...
I don't think I ever knew that they did.
Just think of the Stan Lee, Jim Henson epic rap battle history.
Yeah.
That final verse.
Yeah, where Disney walks out. Yeah, no, like, it's one of those things. I very much knew that. I just forgot, I guess, is the best way to put it, because it caught me off guard for a second. And I was like, no, of course they own Muppets. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They have for years.
Right.
But anyway, they're planning on a Muppets reboot, and it's going to be on their new streaming service, whenever that hits.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all these reboots, though.
Well, a lot of people are really upset about the Muppets show that aired recently, I forget what channel, like ABC.
The ABC
maybe?
Had it.
Yeah, ABC had a Muppets reboot. And a lot of people were really upset about how they were running that because they had, like, Kermit got a new girlfriend or something like that. And they were trying to be, like, I guess more adult-oriented.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, and a lot of people forgot that the original Muppets sketch show was a little bit more... It wasn't necessarily mature, but it definitely wasn't strictly for kids.
Right. It was something that it was something that kids could watch, but there was a lot of content for the parents.
Right. So yeah, that's a lot of people were really, really upset about how that was working, and the ratings were pretty bad, so they canceled it. But they're doing it again, and from what I read, this is a full reboot. So I guess completely new stuff for their streaming service.
And also, you didn't mention it on the pre-show, but this very much ties into it of how they're also doing a Muppet Babies.
Yeah, I did see that because we got
the first image of it.
Yeah, we got the first image of it, and I think we got the theme song, too, didn't we?
I think we did. I haven't listened to it.
Because it's by one...
Yeah, the full theme song.
Yeah, and it's being sung by one of the Broadway Hamilton actors.
Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Yeah.
It also is going to have Jenny Slate and Dee Bradley Baker as voices in it.
Dee Bradley Baker?
That's a cool name.
Ben Diskin, Eric Bauza, Jessica DeCiso. I'm going to stop. Because I can't read any of these. Because Lindsay showed me that last night. But she said, it's weird because I didn't think puppets could do Uncanny Valley. Because it's CG. It's a CG show for Disney Junior and the Disney Now app, I think is what it says.
Yeah.
But it's all CG, but it looks real weird.
I mean, I know when I was really little, they had Muppet Babies.
I'm trying to find a picture.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Right. I liked that show a lot when I was really little.
Same.
But... Yeah, I actually...
It's a small picture, but...
I had seen that. I just forgot to put it on the list for some reason.
But and she also said apparently a lot of people are upset because they're introducing a new character, which it's the penguin.
Why would people be upset about a new thing? A
because penguin. It's the... Because Scooter was Skeeter's twin sister, and that was the other girl on the original Muppet Babies.
Oh, my God.
And so now this girl penguin is replacing her.
Gotcha.
I don't remember any of that.
I
might have gotten those. I might have gotten those names.
I really don't remember much.
Not only wrong, but backwards.
Unless they were in the Muppet movie, I probably don't really remember. But I barely remember that because it's been so long.
I guess when I say I don't remember much of the Muppets, I very much remember the Muppets. I don't remember much of the cast of the Muppet Babies.
See, and it's because I was always more of a Tiny Toons versus Muppet Babies.
I love Tiny Toons.
I also love me some Tiny Toons.
Buster Bunny for the win. And Babs.
But that's one that we really don't have a lot to say because that is skewed real young.
That is not even
show.
A little bit straight up Disney Junior.
Yeah,
not even a little bit catered to us.
But I like that. I mean, but between that and the actual Muppets reboot, I've always had a soft spot for the Muppets.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see them getting
more
attention.
And yeah, I mean, I'm probably gonna get that stupid Disney streaming service just because.
Right.
Between all the Marvel stuff on there, it depends on, I guess, what's on there. We've talked about it before.
Marvel, Star Wars, now Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just called your childhood. Don't go. Come for the... No, actually, you know what? At this point, get the Ninja Turtles. That's fine. Buy them out, too. Fix that mess.
Yes, please.
Get the rights to the Nickelodeon show as well. Keep that safe and secure.
Good Lord. I don't want Disney to own that much, but they've built up so much goodwill. I mean, I understand their
they charge us $50 a month for the streaming service. Disney, why? Because we can. And you'll pay it.
And then I'm just pulling my wallet out yeah, you're right. But yeah, so for the Muppet Babies, that's great for those of you out there with younger kids. They might enjoy it quite a bit. I don't know if it's quite Mikey's speed, but...
It looked like it was probably younger.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I don't I like them, but I just don't remember liking them that much where I even care about the reboot, honestly.
Fair enough. All right. We got another Jessica Jones trailer, speaking of all that Marvel stuff that we're loving, which confused us because we did talk a few weeks ago about
the Jessica Jones trailer.
The Jessica Jones trailer. And now we've got a show to even more stuff. But a lot of it was just clips from the first season. And we got a few clips from season two.
I mean, some of it was from the first season.
Yeah, like
the lifting up the car, and that's the one that really stands out.
I mean, there were quite a
and
few.
And some of the, like, Kilgrave, like, a little bit of the Kilgrave stuff and
right.
her punching person that I won't. One, I don't remember the name, but also not to spoil
that's
anything
yeah,
if you haven't
that's
seen
a
anything.
Big spoiler.
It really is. But so, yeah. I mean, this didn't make me any more excited than I was because I think that trailer we talked about a couple weeks ago was better because it gave us more of what the second season was going to be. Mm. This was more of almost like a Jessica Jones the character trailer.
Yeah.
Which right. was cool. And like, and that it's a good way for to kind of maybe build interest for people who haven't seen the first season to go back and watch it before. Jessica, the season two starts.
Right, which is coming up way sooner. I keep forgetting that it is, it's not this coming Thursday, but the following.
Oh boy.
It's March 8th when it comes
out.
Oh
boy.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have another day off until May.
I know.
Dang it. that'd be primo. I'm just watching Jessica Jones all day.
Yeah, I think.
Actually, that would be a rough day. Because I binged a lot of the first season of Jessica Jones, and that was...
It gets kind of heavy.
It's not an easy watch. It's a great watch, but it's not an easy watch.
It does get a little heavy. Like, I think I binged all of it in 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and I just left feeling like, man, that was awesome. I need a drink.
Right. I just need, like, I want a nap and a shower. Just
good to know.
It's just fantastic, though. It's so good. And I'm super excited about the second one. I'm thinking about maybe taking a vacation day because then my vacation days refresh.
You just had an entire week.
Yeah, I know. I had to use those. Otherwise, those days would expire.
God, I hate you.
I know. I hate me, too. It's okay.
You should.
But yeah, another Jessica Jones trailer. And it was good. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah, no, yeah. My hype was already at maximum levels, so this really couldn't, you know, add anything.
Yeah, it
to
didn't
that.
Break the meter.
Right. One thing that people are speculating on, like, she made it sound a little bit like she was going to kind of embrace the whole superhero thing, which mm-hmm. would be a little out of character for this version of Jessica Jones anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she first got her powers in the comic books, she started as a superhero, like full costume, get up and everything.
Right.
And she went by the name Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when she met Kilgrave.
Right.
And yeah. Everything went
bad. Bad things happened.
So bad, which is covered in the first season of Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I don't remember if they, in the first season of Jessica Jones, if she ever talked about being Jewel.
See, I thought they, like...
I thought they hinted at
they
it a
made,
little bit.
They made little teases, but I don't think it was something, like, because it was teases to the character's history, but not her version of the character's history.
Right.
So they might just be doing a different path for her, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, I am
like,
too.
At this point, as long as the hand isn't involved, I have nothing but trust for these Netflix series.
Right. Yeah, because it would also be really, really difficult for them to do, because one of the big things about Jewel is she was an Avenger as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then... It would be hard because obviously the Avengers isn't that established of a team. Mm-hmm. So it'd be really, really hard to pull that off in the Netflix series because costume vigilantism is not a common thing in New York yet.
Right.
So for her to have been there, done that, wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right. Whereas now this is kind of the time that if she did don a costume, it would be a little bit more. People would kind of buy it because at this point we do have the event, like the Avengers are a household name.
Right.
You know, we're coming off of Spider-Man, who is much more of a ground level hero.
Yeah. Now
there's definitely people who know of him. Daredevil, even.
Oh, yeah. The Devil of Hell's Kitchen is quite famous.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, like we found out he's been Spider-Manning around New York for a minute.
Right.
Now he's doing it with an even better costume. So obviously a different part of New York, but
yeah,
still. So, yeah, we'll see what we get with that. It'll be interesting. I kind of don't want them to do Jewel.
I don't. Oh, no, I don't either. Like, I hope it's just a thing that she, like... Because I feel like what they're going to do with the season, just because of the nature of the show, is she does kind of embrace it, but then, like, something goes wrong with it, and she's like, yeah, no, back to seclusion.
Never mind.
Except to deal with whatever the big bad is.
Right. We'll see. Next Thursday, apparently. Oh, that's exciting. Anyway, Joss Whedon looks like he's no longer attached to the Batgirl movie.
Yep.
Which is a real bummer, because he does wonderful thing for strong female roles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a couple of like misses here and there, but for the most part, like his work, particularly with female leads, is pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a bummer. He apparently he just didn't have a story, didn't have an idea for it, so he just left it.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like he actually stepped down. It wasn't like he was forced out. He wasn't fired or anything.
Right.
It's just he realized that the long term he didn't have enough to contribute to the project, which honestly is like kind of admirable. Yeah. Instead of to kind of like half-ass something that really sucks.
Right.
Yeah. And he knows it, to just be like, you know, you can find someone who could do a better job.
And I also do hope that he didn't just drop out because, like, DCEU ain't looking great. I don't know if I want my name attached to this stuff.
Yeah, like that, because that was actually in the back of my mind too. Like, he just kind of, he's like, yeah, I'll sign on to do a Batgirl movie. See Suicide Squad, sees the lukewarm at best reaction to Justice League, which is the best one they've done.
Well,
except for Wonder Woman.
I was about to say, Wonder Woman is definitely the best of the work they've done so far.
And because, like, Wonder Woman happened, he signed on, and then, yeah, Justice League's just like, oh.
Yeah, Suicide Squad happened, like, uh-oh.
Yeah, guys, I don't have an idea. He's just, like, shredding pages of a script, like, I got nothing.
Got no ideas whatsoever, deleting it from his computer, like.
Running magnets over it, like, throwing it in the microwave.
Oh, God.
Mr. Robot style.
Right, like, he's going hard. Like, yep. Yeah. No, nope, nothing at all.
Nothing to see here.
And then the new Batgirl comic comes out.
Joss Whedon signed on by DC to write Batgirl. That would actually be really funny. And I'd buy that. I'd buy at least the first issue.
Yeah. Oh, Batgirl's comic run is so confusing. Every time they change creative teams, it's like she jumps through time.
Yeah, because you don't know which Barbara Gordon you're going to get.
She's an adult. Nope, she's a spunky teenager 2 issues later. What?
What happened? Is she still in love with Dick? All right.
Well, that's kind of weird because she's in high school and he's like 30. So maybe not.
I guess it depends on what they've done with the timeline, because at one point Dick was in his early 20s.
Right. I think he's like mid-20s right now. That's why we need Dalton here.
Didn't he date Starfire though too?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
I was like, I swear I remember him in like one of the Titans.
When you get a butt like that, you can date whoever.
Yeah, Nightwing has dated a significant number of female protagonists in DC.
That's fair. I'd date him.
Everybody would.
Right.
He's an attractive man. That's a common theme with Nightwing.
I saw it on Reddit. There was a page in, I think, whatever the book switched to after Nightwing, when he went Super Agent Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Of just like one of his allies recognized him in disguise by his butt.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God. Spiral. Agent of Spiral. Dick Grayson. Agent of Spiral. That's what it was. I did it. You're welcome, Dalton. Your favorite. Dalton's favorite version of the character, too.
Yeah. He absolutely loves Grayson.
And that's canon.
Yep. That's why we got him that image of Grayson signed by Neil Adams.
Oh, we're the worst friends.
So anyway, going all the way back. Yeah, Joss Whedon. That's where that came from. All right, we're done talking about that. Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh,
It finally hits Netflix.
Oh.
The live action.
The live action. Yeah, like, because Brotherhood and the 03 version have been there for a while. But yeah, the live action movie, it's Japanese produced, Japanese created, hit Netflix. And we'll do the spoiler free review since it just hit Tuesday and, you know, give you guys a chance to watch it. I'm going to go ahead and start with mine so that Mandy can then do hers.
Because you didn't watch it, did you?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. It was okay. If you are a big fan of the series, it's worth watching. But at the same time, I can't say that I really enjoyed it. They took out my favorite character. That was a huge bummer. They couldn't figure out which plot line they wanted to go with, so we had this unorganized, like, cluster mess of the two shows with a little bit of original content so they could try to shorten it down to the 2 hours they put it in, which also it's over 2 hours long. I did not realize that when I started it.
Yeah, no, we didn't either.
So yeah, the CG was okay in most of it and downright awful in other parts. Particularly like anything involving, well, okay, Roy Mustang stuff looked good at first. Then by the end, they completely changed how his power worked, exhibiting they have no knowledge of how his power worked. and made the worst looking flamethrower CG I have ever seen in my life.
Was that the one where it was just like the straight line at the one? Yeah,
that was he just had the constant stream as though he was holding a flamethrower.
That was the one. That's the only time I saw it messed up, and I was just like, cool. And I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That's not how that works, even a little bit.
I was just like, oh, a stream. And then I like immediately stopped everything I knew. And I was like, that's never been done.
Yeah. And see, what ended up happening, and I think the moment that Mandy never got, I was actually enjoying the movie up until I realized that Armstrong was never going to make an appearance. And that started like, you know, cracking the rose-colored glasses. And then, like, the more I started thinking about it, the cracks sort of turned into them getting shattered. And then suddenly I wasn't having a good time with the movie.
I think mine cracked, but then they just automatically repaired themselves.
Every time you saw Reza on the screen?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Lieutenant. Don't know who.
Yeah.
The blonde lieutenant that hangs out with Mustang.
Yeah.
She never got a name.
Yeah, I want to say I thought she did.
Nope.
But I didn't go back and rewatch it yet.
She did not. Yeah. I looked it up and confirmed it after I thought that was
okay.
The case.
Okay.
She never got a name.
Got you, bae.
So, yeah. She basically, of Mustang's team, only two members made the cut for the film. And one of them got a name, and it wasn't Hawkeye. And then they completely changed up how that interaction worked.
She didn't even have her dog.
Yep. No, there was Black Hayate. Nope, there was no Black Hayate, which is a big deal for Mandy. That was her username for a long time.
Yes.
And even a password or two, if I remember her mentioning it correctly.
Yes.
but yeah, so I...
And my car's name.
Yeah, and no mention of that. It felt extraordinarily rushed because it seemed like they wanted to get all the way through the story, but then they decided with 30 minutes left in the movie that they couldn't.
Yeah, right. So we're going to make a part two.
So yeah, they've decided they're going to do part two, but I don't know how excited I would be to watch it because part one was not good.
Because the text you sent me was very strongly worded. Because we jump back into WoW. Well, I just say jump back into, like, I've played WoW a handful of times already, but we rolled characters and, like, we bought a subscription, so we're playing.
Right.
It's like, hey, do you want to play WoW? I was like, yeah, I got, like, 30 minutes left in this movie, and I'll jump on. And then, like, I just laid down, like, this is, like, an hour later, an hour and change later, and he's like, okay, that was way longer than I thought it was. I'm so sorry. I regret everything.
Yep.
How dare you?
That was the text message. It was mostly because, like, I didn't want to stay up that late watching that movie. I thought it was going to be like an hour and change.
Yeah.
So I thought we were good
to
go.
Which, to me, kind of made me laugh because, like, at any point, you can just hit pause.
Right.
And Netflix will tell you exactly how much time is left in the movie.
I did that, like, after, like, 45 minutes after I texted you. I was like, how much time is left in this movie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Another 20 minutes. Well, might as well finish it.
God. Well, I remember when I was watching it with Steven, and he's like, when we were starting, he's like, yeah, I'll just have to like go get my laundry in an hour. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And I like paused it, waiting for him, and I was like, oh, I'm Steven. We have 2 hours of this. So we'll just pause halfway.
So, yeah, the end of my review there is, it's if you've got Netflix, I wouldn't recommend getting a Netflix trial to watch it. But if you already have Netflix and you need something to watch and you've got 2 hours to kill and you really, really like Full Metal Alchemist, go ahead. If you have never watched the series before and you don't really care for Full Metal, this will not make you care for Full Metal. This might turn you off of the rest of the series. Please do not watch this film. All right, Mandy, go ahead.
Well, I liked it. I keep telling myself I like it, and then I backtracked to parts that were really, what? But then the rose-colored glasses are just like, you liked it. I think they just took over my brain, like, and they're just literally attached. But I liked it. I don't know, like, it's another storyline, I guess, for me to like.
Ish.
But doesn't have 3/4 of the cast. So I don't...
Yeah, the hilarious thing was, so I was texting to Manny after she finally watched this movie, like getting her opinion and everything on it. Her and I agree on everything wrong with the movie.
We do.
It's just the final opinion is the only difference.
Man, like, we had the same opinions of like what sucked about it, but like Manny still really liked it and you hated it.
Yeah. Like, I'm so sad that Armstrong wasn't in it, and there's like two main bad guys are not in it, and they made and like switched stuff, like Jesse said, added in their own content, which was really just like reversing characters' roles or making other characters stay in longer and have stuff to do. But I don't know. I mostly, when I saw like Hawkeye and Mustang on the screen, I was like, they're real. And that just, I think that was like the main thing, is that they're real now.
And those were two of three characters that actually looked good.
Yeah.
Because yeah, Mustang looked great. Mm-hmm. Hawkeye looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Hughes was spot on.
Yeah.
Like, that was as perfect as you're going to get for Hughes. Even his mannerisms, everything that dude did. The only problem was a huge part of his character wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
So you didn't have him, like, without spoiling anything, you didn't have him flipping out the picture book.
Yeah.
If that makes sense for the FMA fans.
Alphonse's armor looked awesome.
It did. Alphonse's armor looked great.
Yeah.
Ed looked awful. Like, everything about Ed was bad.
He wasn't even Ed, though. That was a big thing for me, is he wasn't his, like, sassy, sarcastic, yeah, like, being, like, going head-to-head with the general on stuff. Like,
nope.
He was just whiny.
He also didn't get angry when people called him short.
Yeah, I mean, he got glare.
Yeah. Like, you could tell he was upset about it, but he didn't, you know, get angry about it, which happened more than a few times.
Yeah.
Like, they put in the whole bit about him being called short.
So they got half the bit right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just didn't get his reaction. They didn't get what made the bit funny.
Yeah.
There were, again, critical bad guys weren't there. They mentioned the Fuhrer once, which is kind of a huge deal.
Did they leave it to, like, where that might be in the second part?
Nope.
Okay. Maybe.
I mean, they could throw him into the second part.
But it wouldn't have, like, the lasting effect. Like, yeah. But, I mean, it's hard. I don't know how they swing it. But then again, you took it. A 61 or two episode series and crammed it into like what would have been like four episodes, because, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, so they took out, like, they put another character in for Bradley. And yeah, that's one of the character swaps we were talking about that just made no sense. They could have just put Bradley in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, they put just this other random character who gets, like, he gets a little bit of screen time in the anime, but like, he doesn't play near as big of a role. Like, he just kind of. They took one character to encompass three others, and it was just a bit character from a couple of episodes in the show,
mm-hmm,
and they put him in the movie for, like, three different characters that played a much larger role.
Yeah. Aww.
Because it felt like they were trying to put in, like, Boss Gran and Bradley and...
Scar?
Well, he didn't really take the Scar. It was another...
like, military person?
Yeah. I know, can't remember who.
Oh, Archer, probably?
Probably.
Well, Archer is, well, or Kimberly.
No, not Archer. I don't know. Just two then.
Right. Because
I can't think of the third.
Yeah.
I had the thought before.
Potentially a third.
Yeah. Like, it's doesn't make any sense. They could have taken Bradley or Boss Gran.
Mm-hmm.
Those would have been better bad guys.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's fine.
It's fine. Are you done interrupting my review now?
I added to your review. Go ahead.
I lost my streak now, but. I think my overall view is...
You just kept talking about rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Anyways, I think my overall view is I liked it. If you do watch it, like, don't go in with the mindset of FMA. Like, know, like, the background of the characters and, like, what equivalent exchanges and stuff. But go in, like, just knowing that. Like, forget almost everything else you know. So if you've only seen some episodes and liked it, you could probably watch it and still like this movie. But if you are, like, me that, like... is like it FMA is a way of life, then it's a little bit of a struggle, but it's still an enjoyable movie for me. And you just like complain about the spots for a minute and then something cool happens and it's fine again. So I like it.
All right, well, there's your two reviews.
Asa yeah. likes it.
I didn't see it. I'll not attach my name to that.
Nope. I'm not going to let you attach Asa's name to that. You will not besmirch his name.
He likes it.
So anyway, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. Also, to add to that, when she said, like, forget everything you know about it, except don't. Because if you don't know everything about FMA, there are plot elements that they threw into this show that won't make any sense unless you've watched both of the animes. Because reasons.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's silly. It upset me a little bit. But anyway, on to comic books. This portion of our podcast brought to you by our good friends at Villains Grounds in Perryville, Missouri, where you can get a phenomenal cup of coffee and also browse comic books. Can't think of a better place to be. Marvel is relaunching their numbers again.
Oh, boy. This is going to fix it.
Good morning.
Yeah. So basically, Marvel decided recently to switch to legacy numbering. A lot of people didn't understand why, but they're like, okay, whatever, Marvel, do what you want to do. And a lot of people complained about it because now, you know, you have numbers in the 800s and 600s, et cetera, et cetera. So Marvel has decided that... yes, in fact, the legacy numbering system is off-putting to new readers. So they are reverting back to the smaller numbering systems. However, we're no longer getting... It's going to be a dual numbering system. So it's not like we're getting Iron Man Volume 6. We're just getting Iron Man number 700-something or 600-something. But we're getting a dual numbering system where they're starting new arcs with a number 1. So that people know where to jump on. We're also getting a massive overhaul of creative teams, and we're starting just a bunch of new story arcs.
So would you say that this is now an all-new Marvel?
No, because it's not all new.
Oh, just like, but the creative teams are...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this isn't...
This is stupid. I'm sorry. Like, this is so dumb. Marvel has no idea what they're doing anymore. Like... they've made so many changes, and so many times they've tried to go back to number ones with new stories and new teams, and it's just like, this isn't working. This isn't what you need. I totally understand that legacy numbering can be off-putting to people, but maybe consider that before you do that with all of your books, only to then, okay, yeah, we're getting rid of that. Now we're going back to number ones, except for some of them. They're keeping some of them for certain books.
They're not keeping any of them.
I thought the IGN article said that they were keeping their...
The IGN article, because I read the same thing. There was a correction on that.
They're keeping
all of the legacy numbers. Like I said, it's a dual numbering system. So it's not like some books are going to be the 600-something and some books are going to get number ones. All books are getting number ones. Well, not all books. Most books are getting number ones. But next to the number one is going to be the actual issue number.
So will it just say, like...
it is literally a dual numbering system.
So it'll say, like, volume, like, 600, and then, like, the arc name, one of something?
Sometimes. They put that at the top. But, yeah, no, basically, in, like, what they've done this before, and what they did in the top left, they'll have issue one, like, so for Spider-Man, because I think Spider-Man 800 is going to start in this numbering system. So you have Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man number one, and also 800.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha.
That still seems silly to me.
It's a way better idea than completely renumbering it.
It's better than what they used to do with the point ones.
But, like, yeah. If I were to just stroll up there, I'd be like, 800 and then 1. I would be confused just by that. I mean, yeah. You saw me just trying to buy Wonder Woman.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Was
super confusing when it came out.
It's not a ideal system. Like, they've...
See, because I was just like, because Mike has Sonic comics of like Sonic Universe, and then it'll say like Dr. Robotnik something, 1 of 4. So that's where I was getting that from. So I didn't know if they were doing something like that.
They do that with Marvel miniseries mostly.
Yeah.
Is when they usually do give the of, like the number one of.
Yeah.
And like, because it was the same, because they've done this before with this dual numbering, where they would do like number one, because that really, that, and so as someone who is pretty knowledgeable about comic books and how that numbering exists, like that numbering works, it totally threw me off, because like, wait, how is this number one but it's issue 7 of this launch? Because they did that, and they did that not too long ago.
I mean, it was before, like, Marvel Now.
I was gonna say no, it was more like, it was because I remember seeing it at VG.
Wait, what?
I'm pretty sure I remember seeing one at VG. Is it was number one, but then it was also like, but it was an ongoing series that had already started.
That was what... Yeah, they did that with Marvel Now 2.0.
Okay.
Because they threw number ones on there.
I'm getting my reboots confused. And I hate that. Like, the reason I don't like the number one is because how many number ones are you going to have? Like, do you do number one for every new arc? Do you do number one, like, because then there are also new books coming out that will be number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like Avengers, that the new Avengers team, that's going to be Avengers number one.
Right. Because it's going to be the only Avengers book.
Good and bad.
Depends on who you ask. Like, I think it's going to be good because then you don't have to buy, like, you know, four Avengers books to get the full story of what's going on with the Avengers.
But at the same time, like, I always kind of like some of the offshoot Avengers books because...
I've liked some of those, like, crazier teams.
Because they feature characters that I like that aren't that I'm fully aware are not popular enough for their own solo run.
Mm-hmm.
But also don't necessarily make a good fit in a core Avengers team. The reason that I'm not a huge fan of this doing one book is because of the whole rotating cast. Because, like, I don't know, like, no, I feel like the Avengers should have some stability there, which they will with, like, the core three, and then I think Black Panther.
They're talking about Black Panther might be in that.
He's going to be, like, the number four.
Right. Because basically what we're talking about in the new Avengers, but, well, I'll get to that in a second. First, I just want to finish up this numbering system. The way they've done it before, like, they had that Marvel Now 2.0,
mm-hmm.
because, yeah, that was just, like, here, a bunch of new arcs post this event. Mm-hmm. So this is number one, but it's part of an ongoing book.
Right.
Because they didn't want to make another volume. Because every time they redo a number one,
mm-hmm.
then you have to do volume.
Right.
So for digital and sorting records and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's how they did that one. This one's going to be a little bit different if it's like the way they've done it before Marvel Now, the first Marvel Now.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had, in bold print, you had the issue number, and then you had basically the issue number in that line of books in, like, lighter print.
Right.
So you knew, like, I guess, where at, like, which number one you were getting.
Because
mm-hmm. Everybody has done multiple number ones.
Right.
Batman has 35 number ones.
Oh, no, yeah.
Spider-Man has, 45 number ones. Like, yeah, there's a lot of number ones out there.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what this numbering system is going to be. And, yeah, this Avengers thing, that's going to be the first one. And all this starts in May, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers is going to be one of the first big ones. And, yeah, only Avengers book, which is a huge deal because there hasn't been just one Avengers book since, like, the 90s.
Yeah, because there's always been, like, New Avengers, West Coast Avengers, Secret Avengers, Uncanny Avengers.
Young,
like,
Avengers, yeah. New Avengers, yeah.
But again, it's because they have so many characters at their disposal, not all of them can work in a solo book setting.
Right.
And also, they all serve different purposes. Like, the Avengers were, New York-based, solving global crises. West Coast Avengers were kind of smaller scale, dealing with, like, so they could be first on happen. That would take, maybe the regular Avengers team.
Time.
They would lose time having to get there.
Right. Plus, they've got, their own stuff going, like, because each one of the characters have, their own lives and everything else that they're doing. They're not just in this team. So, yeah, no, it makes sense for there to be a bunch of teams, and I'm sure that, those are still going to, I guess, kind of exist.
I was
going to
say, do you think that they're going to keep some of those teams? They're just not going to be called Avengers?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they end up doing. Because, I mean, they already did. They prove that there's proof of concept with Champions.
Right.
Because previously, like, a book like Champions would have just been called Young Avengers.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see what they go with. Either way, Thor Odinson, Tony Stark, and Steve Rogers are going to be the primary three. And they're talking about Black Panther as a fourth, but he's right now sitting in what they're calling the rotating slot.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important to mention those names and not just Thor, Iron Man, and Cap.
Right.
Because in the last few years, there have been different... it's been Jane Foster's Thor for a while now,
mm-hmm.
which Odinson hasn't had his hammer for a minute.
Right.
So we don't know how that's happening exactly. Tony Stark has been in a coma for a while, so we don't know, like, how he's coming back or in what form. It may even just be AI Tony, which would be super stupid. But
I don't think it... I'm
pretty sure that, like, real Tony's coming back.
The way that they're saying Tony Stark and not, like... a version of Tony Stark makes me think they're just bringing back the character. Which, by the way, good job making this announcement and saying he's going to be a crucial part of the team if he still hasn't come back in any of your ongoing stories yet.
Yeah, it's one of, like, we know in, like, if you've been reading Iron Man, you know he's still alive.
Right.
So there's that,
I guess.
Well,
you know he's alive, but, like, he's so comatose that we have two different people who've picked up his mantle.
And done it better, right. In my opinion. Because Riri and Doom as Iron Man are awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what we've got. Tony Stark is actually coming back. And Steve Rogers, yeah, he's I mean, he's been back as Cap for a while.
Yeah, so that's less surprising.
Yeah, but even post Hydra, because even like Sam Wilson's not even Cap anymore. Sam Wilson's back to Falcon.
Is he?
Yeah, because of all the negative image that came out of Secret Wars, not Secret Wars.
Secret Empire. Where Cap was actually an agent of Hydra all along.
Yeah, which he really wasn't. But it was Kobik that did it. The cube. Anyway, after that resolved, Cap still has kind of a bad image tied to him. Mm-hmm. So Sam Wilson dropped back to Falcon. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I get it. Like, if after all that stuff, I wouldn't, like, even during Secret Empire, he was like, he didn't put the Captain America uniform back on until the very end conflict for the fight with Captain America.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I don't want to be associated with that name right now.
Right.
Which, fair. Completely. Which I don't know if we've gotten, because I haven't been reading Captain America, I don't know if we've gotten resolution with. The way that story resolved, there ended up being two Steve Rogers existing simultaneously.
Yeah, and one of them was evil?
Yep, one of them. Well, Captain. One of them was Agent of Hydra, and one of them was Hydra. Captain America. Yeah.
Oh, fancy.
But, I mean, he's probably dead.
Which is just what Red Hood was. Or Red Hood. Red Skull was.
Yeah, pretty much. So now we have, like, a pretty Red Skull.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Pretty Red Skull.
Significantly less evil.
I like pretty.
Just fascist, which I guess is kind of evil.
Yeah, I don't think those are pretty interchangeable.
I don't know. I was really conflicted reading this because it's like, he kind of did what, like, you know how you always talk about what you would do if you became Superman?
Right.
That's what Cap did.
He's just like, no, you don't get to govern yourselves. You tried. Right. You failed.
Exactly.
Everyone is equal. Everyone is safe. I don't care if you're happy.
Yep. That was what Captain America did.
This is great for Superman. 2018.
I was really conflicted because it's like, well, I mean, he ain't wrong. And he was going to use the cube to bring, like, everybody that was hurt. Like, once he reassembled the cube and managed to take power of it.
Isn't the cube, an entity now? Like, a sentient being?
There's a sentient being associated with the cube.
White hot room.
It's one of those things. It's difficult to explain, but you just kind of have to go with it.
No, homie, I don't. I'm gonna go read Batman and Superman going on a double date. Okay, I don't have to associate with this nonsense.
You can do both. It's fun because I do both and I enjoy it. Anyway. That's what we got for comic books. So we're getting a bunch of new number ones. So if you're looking to get into Marvel Comics, there has never been... May will be the best time.
There has never been a better time, except for the last six times they've done this. It's a great jumping on point.
The only time I would argue is a better time was the original Marvel Now relaunch.
And that's when I jumped in back into comic books in general. Between New 52 and then that got me into DC, Marvel Now did get me back into Marvel a little bit, but I could tell things were off. That's when they started doing this character isn't this character anymore.
Yeah, they did a bunch of reboots. And didn't Marvel Now hit before New 52?
No.
I thought the first Marvel Now happened before New 52.
No, because I was living in Virginia when Marvel Now hit. In New 52, I was still in college.
I have to look that up. That's...
I'll check it real quick. But honestly, the dual numbering thing is... okay, but I do think that the more numbers you have on on the front of a comic book, the more intimidating it's going to be.
Yes.
People because, wait, wasn't this already a number one? How is it a number one if they've already done this before?
Yeah, and I've seen an image of the last time they did this, and it was significantly less confusing. Yeah, New 52 did start first.
New 52 started in 2011, and Marvel Now started October 2012.
Yeah, March 2012.
Google lied to me.
March 2012 was the Marvel Revolution. That was what started Marvel Now. And that was March 2012, and then September 2011 for New 52.
Marvel Now is a comic book branding for the relaunch of several ongoing comic books published by Marvel Comics that originally debuted in October 2012 with the number one issues.
Huh. Yeah, I'm looking at I'm looking at the Marvel Now Wikipedia.
This is what that's coming from.
Oh my God.
Publication date, October 2012 to May 2015.
Do I need to be a median and look it up?
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. It may just be just talking about...
New 52 did come first, though.
Yeah, that's what's important about this. So anyway, yeah, New 52. But the Marvel Now, yeah, they did kind of a relaunch, I guess, to kind of match that because the New 52 sales were going nuts.
Yeah.
And then New 52 kind of dropped off. Marvel Now proved to be significantly more successful outside of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then Marvel just kind of kept relaunching. Mm-hmm. And DC just kind of kept circling the drain until they hit Rebirth.
Right.
And then they, yeah, went ham. And that's when Marvel's done two relaunches since then. This will be the third.
Because the biggest difference between Marvel Now and New 52 fundamentally changed the entire DC universe.
Right.
Marvel Now was just a shakeup of creative teams.
Yep, that's pretty much, yeah, Marvel Now did what we're getting here.
Right.
Which is, yeah, complete shakeup of creative teams, a bunch of new story arcs starting. Mm-hmm. So you still have to, like, you'll have to Google a little bit, but...
inherently isn't a bad thing. Like, I know I'm sounding super negative on it. I just, like... with the amount of times that they label it as like this giant shakeup and they try to make a huge deal of it, mm. I don't know why, it just bugs me. Yeah. All that you really need is like a banner across the cover, which DC is really bad about. Like they've toned down a lot with Rebirth. They were awful in New 52 and kind of at the beginning of Rebirth. New season of Arrow starting. Like they would put an ad across the banner of your cover,
yeah.
Which I was not a fan of. But you could easily do that with... okay, Amazing Spider-Man number 788 or whatever that issue is. Like, an all-new story. Like, you just put that on the cover of whatever the beginning of the arc is. Marvel does a great job of putting that little preview page at the beginning of every comic. Like, okay, this is who this character is. This is what they've been doing. What's coming? I love that. That's one thing I wish DC would do.
Because, yeah, this is the way Marvel is advertising this. You can jump in, starting in May when this relaunch starts, you can jump into any of these books marked number one, mm-hmm. having no prior knowledge. The first page will give you all the relevant information you need to know, mm-hmm. and then you can just read.
Right.
And you can enjoy it. Like, occasionally there might be a character that if you want to know more about, you have to look it up, mm-hmm. but it's not critical to the plot to know more about, to know more information about this character.
Right.
And a lot of times Marvel does a really good job of, like, if they say something that it's like, if you want to know more about this, see this book, this right. page, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you're wanting to get into Marvel and you haven't been able to in a while because, you know, the MCU is such a huge deal and you're wanting to read more stuff, starting in May, this will be your best chance in a long time.
Especially because it looks like the characters that you see in the cinematic universe will actually be those characters.
Yes.
By then.
Because, yeah, we're bringing back, yeah, if you liked the Thor movies, but you could only find Jane Foster, they're bringing back Odinson.
Yeah.
Like, as Thor, because he's kind of been, like, doing stuff.
Same thing with Tony Stark as Iron Man and...
Captain America. As
Captain America, yeah.
And then Black Panther is apparently going to be, since obviously people like Black Panther. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's going to be getting a much bigger role. I didn't say the rest of that cast that's going to be rotating. Captain Marvel, Robbie Reyes, Ghost Rider... She-Hulk and Doctor Strange.
Loved Robbie Reyes as Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
That was awesome. I don't know how similar they are in the comic book world because I haven't read Ghost Rider in a while. I think the biggest takeaway from that story is Captain Marvel and Tony Stark being on the same team, yes. considering Captain Marvel is the one who put Tony Stark in the coma in Civil War II.
Yep. Along with caused the death of Bruce Banner as Hulk.
That was Hawkeye, though.
Yeah, but Captain Marvel did it. Like, Hawkeye killed her, or Hawkeye killed Bruce.
Oh, I thought that was, because I read, like, a brief synopsis of Civil War II, I thought Bruce Banner didn't want to lose out to the Hulk, so he gave Hawkeye that arrow that could kill him.
Yes.
And then whenever he started to lose control, Hawkeye took the shot, but it was at Bruce Banner's, like...
He wasn't losing control. Captain Marvel, the Inhuman that could see the future, that started Secret Wars 2.
Right.
Or not, Civil War II. Started Civil War II. The Inhuman that started that saw Bruce Banner lose control, and Captain Marvel told Hawkeye to put him down,
mm-hmm.
because that's what was going to happen.
Right,
and that's how that happened. So yeah, Captain Marvel was the reason that Bruce Banner had to get put down, because it's one of those things. It kind of came down to, like, the Inhuman could see a future, right. not the future.
Basically, Civil War II, for those wondering, was a very violent, very overdone episode of That's So Raven.
Yeah, kinda.
where
it was the whole thing.
Oh, I see into the future. I better do something to avoid it. But when you do something to avoid it, then you end up causing it.
Yep. That's pretty much exactly how a lot of it happened. Yeah, it was.
I wish you were better, Marvel. I wish you were better.
I didn't dislike Civil War II, the story. Same thing with Secret Empire. It ended up being a lot better than I thought it was going to be. But I do wish they would stop doing these big events. Really wish they'd stop doing big events. Anywho, we don't have a whole lot of time now. We spent a lot of time on that to talk about video games. This portion of our podcast brought to you by Press Start to Join, our good friends Josh and Alan. They have a phenomenal podcast about other nerdy things, particularly History of Gaming is my favorite podcast they do. It's a monthly show where they talk about like a history in video games. And anyway, you can find all of their content at www.ps2jshow.com. All right, Detective Pikachu, we got a trailer for it with English dubs.
Ugh.
And I didn't realize the guy they got for it was going to just do his best Danny DeVito impersonation.
Ugh.
Should have just gotten Danny DeVito.
I had to stop watching it.
Yeah, but like sitting next to Mandy watching that trailer, and she legitimately was like, no, like halfway through.
I was like, I can't watch this anymore. Maybe it could have been a morning thing because I was already angry. I don't know, but his voice was really stupid. Just none of it.
I agree. Like, that voice coming out of Pikachu was silly.
Because it's a 3DS game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is why the graphics on the trailer looked.
I was like, yeah, it better be, because that looked like garbage.
Because it looked like they were trying to do the same art style as Kingdom Hearts, but way worse. Just the way the human characters looked. Kind of reminded me of like what the human Sora characters look in Kingdom Hearts.
Kinda.
And that might be what they're going for, but yeah, it was definitely for the 3DS.
Right.
And Pikachu kinda talked like this.
Oh my god. Like, oh, yeah, like what the heck? I just couldn't even I can't handle it. No. Just yeah, no. Take it back.
I thought it was cool that like it's you kind of saw Pokemon from every generation so far. Like, I like that. I don't know why I was half expecting, like,
just strict new ones.
Like, no, just like the original 150.
Mm-hmm.
I have no reason why I thought that, but to see that, I thought was kind of neat. Yeah. I like the idea of a Pokemon game, like, outside of just the base Pokemon genre.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just.
Sometimes I feel like, those are really good, sometimes they're not so good.
I feel like this should have been on the Switch if they wanted to go with this art style. Because it would have looked a million times better.
Yeah, it would.
I get Nintendo still wants to support the 3DS because it's still highly profitable for them. But at this point, when you have the Switch and seemingly everyone owns one now.
Seemingly.
There's, I mean, it's selling like nutsos.
Yeah.
That
thing just won't stop fastest selling.
We talked about fastest selling system in North America. Like, it's insanity. So, like, but for them to have, like, software that could go great on the Switch, for them to choose to do the 3DS is weird to me. That's something like the kind of funny guys talk about, like with the Metroid game.
Yeah.
And then that Mario Party mini game bundle, where it's just a collection of the mini games. Like, that's perfect for the Switch.
Yeah, and yet.
And yet, it's on the 3DS. Yeah. So. Right.
So we're going to have, we only got about like 7 minutes or so left here, so we're going to speed through the rest of these. Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and 2, we got the Switch announced trailer for that, which we had known that it was coming out a while back.
Yeah, because they announced it at the same time as the Mega Man X Collection.
Right. Oh, and also March 23rd is the release date for Detective Pikachu, for those of you that are interested. And they showed off, well, they've shown off a while ago, the amiibo for it, which is it's
Sherlock
kind of
Holmes
adorable.
Outfit.
Until you, like, I thought Detective Pikachu was adorable until I heard him talk, and like, oh no.
You're not cute right at all.
But anyway. Yeah, so we got the announced trailer for that. Looks like it's got a few new features versus the previous Legacy Collection, so it might actually be worth buying for you. If you haven't purchased these before, it's definitely worth picking up.
Mm-hmm.
The Rewind feature is one new thing they added that'll look kind of neat, which I know, like, I play a lot of Mega Man, and I don't know anybody else has ever played Mega Man. You do a jump, and you're like, why did I do that? And then you just die. Because
your hands go stupid.
Yeah, your hands just went completely stupid. They added a Rewind feature. So you can just rewind on back a little bit and try that again instead of like restarting the level.
Maybe I'll be able to beat the game.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying like, oh, that sort of takes the challenge out of it. Like, I disagree. The challenge will still be there.
I think.
Yeah, I'll still fail. I was playing it the other night, and so was my other friend, and we just died left and right.
Also, if you don't want to use the rewind feature, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, right.
It's like the it's like the Fire Emblem casual mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, a lot of people, we talked at length about that. Like people saying it ruined, you know, it's
yeah, it's ruining the base game, like, of the no, because like, the other version's still there.
And you can, yeah, because you can still
yeah. So yeah,
I can see people using that. I can't remember which level it is in Mega Man 2 where you have to like navigate the fall because those stupid one hit death lasers.
Oh yeah.
Ugh.
Yep. So yeah, rewind. It's neat. We got a new Battlefield game will be playable at EA Play June 9th. So presumably by then we'll have a title and a premise for this one. See where they go with it. Metal Gear Survive, that came out on the 20th.
we sure did, Meg.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had come out. Apparently it's pretty awful. But on top of the terrible gameplay and just boring everything about it, if you want to create a second character...
you have two options.
You can either delete yours, or you can pay $10.
What?
$10 to create a second character. You have to pay. Yeah, no, this baffles me. This is just Konami really burying Metal Gear.
Yeah, they just...
like,
who? Why?
Blatant disrespect.
Yeah. And it feels like this was done legitimately. They decided they wanted to make a whole bunch of money while simultaneously taking a dump on Konami or on Kojima.
And I don't think this is going to make a bunch of money because like every video that's posted, like previews and everything, is getting just. It doesn't matter who the source is. Like not just Konami's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Like when IGN posts a video, like, oh hey, we're going to talk about Metal Gear, stupid. Just down, like the downvote bar is insane.
Yep.
They could be saying something the general audience agrees with, and it doesn't matter. The topic is, nope, we don't agree with this, because, don't know if you know this, Kojima fans are pretty loyal. And with how just, like, there's no way that you can spin it that he's not just completely screwed over by Konami.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no version of that story that Konami comes out looking okay,
yep.
Even. And so for them to take his arguably most beloved franchise using an engine he built from the ground up and just ruining it.
Yep.
Like, people are not going to...
Yeah, no, it's bad. And yeah, it's definitely the case. Like, you could argue that Metal Gear fans are similar to a cult.
Yeah.
Like, they are... Metal Gear fans are really, really intense about their love of Metal Gear.
But that's not really fair, because, like, a lot of the times, lore in a cult is super easy to understand.
You don't understand Metal Gear?
If you would like to try, I welcome you. I sat at Popeye's with my friend Ben, who tried to explain chronologically, like, what happened with Metal Gear and the story there. For an hour.
It was the best hour of your life.
It was an hour.
A friend of mine tried to it took her 3 hours to run through the franchise while she was really intoxicated.
Oh my god, that was fantastic. It was
really
though.
Funny.
Because it's something that I would love to know more about, but it's like that type of game is not really my, like, I'm not a huge fan of the stealth, mm-hmm. and like I just don't have the patience for it, is what it is.
That's fair. All right, so we'll finish this up here. Burnout Paradise Remastered. We got a reveal trailer for that and a release date, March 16th.
4K, 60 frames per second.
That's coming super soon. Ooh. You're going to have to get you one of those consoles that support that.
No, sir. I have two trips. I cannot.
You can just come over and watch me play it.
Okay. Oh, I can watch you play. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Wow. You're welcome. Just make sure you ravage his house while you're
I'm
there.
In sixth grade again. I wouldn't do that to Andrew.
His room, then.
That's true.
No, please. Look, I'll let you play it, maybe.
If he dies.
You can have the Mad Cats controller.
Wow!
What happened to, being good to guests?
Not on the show, even.
We were going back to sixth grade. Whenever your buddy came over to play the game with you, he got the Mad Cats controller.
Because it was $10 instead of the $50 for the real one.
Exactly.
I really kind of hope that this does well enough that they decide to make a new Burnout, because the real bummer is I'm pretty sure Burnout Paradise doesn't have the crash mode in it. It's like more like it has the slow-mo crashes and stuff.
Yeah,
but everything's the open world, like racing.
Yeah, it doesn't have just like the mode where you try to crash as many cars as possible.
Where it would put you in
That sounds great.
Yeah, it would just put you in different scenarios with like different intersections and different levels of traffic, and you had to reach a certain number of damage.
Yep,
like a certain amount of damage.
Oh my God, it was one of
like
the
best features of Burnout. Like I bought Burnout Paradise and was at first disappointed that that wasn't in there, and then quickly forgot about my disappointment because Burnout Paradise was awesome.
Right,
because
it was just like it's weird because it's probably the best racing game of the Burnout franchise.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But the thing that made Burnout, they took out.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, well, so yeah,
I'm still excited for it.
I am, too. I'm going to pick it up.
It was because I've been kind of messing around with it a little bit because it was actually one of the 360 games for gold not too long ago.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
It is really, really fun. It's a fun game.
It looks real pretty on the trailers, too.
Yes. I'm really, really excited about it. And the last thing I want to talk about, I'll just hit this really, really fast because we don't know a whole lot about it anyway. Looks like someone that leaked a lot of the Switch library leaked that there will be a new Super Smash Brothers announced and released this year. And again, this is still a leak and a rumor. Nintendo has not given us any kind of confirmation on this, but
she is very reputable because like on top of like getting like 85% of the Switch launch library correct, that's not like her only credit. Like she's been doing Nintendo stuff for a while now.
Yeah.
And then we also know that from what she said is they will be elements of the 3DS version and the Wii U version, as well as new content.
Bring back Young Link.
So basically they're going to hit us with like a Mario Kart 8 Deluxe style
system. It's similar. She's not ready to say whether or not it's that or if it's just a strict remastering. That's one of the things that with leaks always kind of makes me feel like they're more credible when they're not willing to just flat out say, oh no, this is what it is for sure.
Right. Because
she's flat out saying, it's like, no, I'm not saying it's a remaster. I'm not saying it's a deluxe version. I'm not saying it's a sequel. I don't have that information. This is what I have. And either way, give me Smash on my Switch.
Yes.
Swash.
Swash. I want Swash.
Smash.
So, I want Young Link.
Oh, well, maybe. It feels like Toon Link has kind of usurped him.
No.
So anyway, again, whenever that news hits, we'll definitely be talking about that at length. But for now, we have that rumor, so hopefully that will...
Please be real.
Hopefully that'll warm your soul like it did mine for at least a minute. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.